Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're joined now, we're pleased to say, by a friend of the show, Lanny Davis. He's a former special counsel to President Clinton. He's a columnist for The Hill newspaper and the author of the forthcoming book, The Unmaking of the President 2016, How FBI Director James Comey Cost Hillary Clinton the Presidency. Lanny Davis, thanks for joining Mornings on the Mall.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. I don't want to show my age because I actually have two younger boys as well as four grandchildren. So this is my second generation of children. But this is my fifth generation of WMAL morning show hosts. So congratulations to the two of you. And I hope if you have me on that you survive my interviews.
I can't wait to find out. I'm so excited now. Lanny, you know, this is a big week for Democrats. They notched a couple of victories. How do you score it? Why did Democrats pick up the governorships in Virginia and New Jersey?
Well, first of all, turnout, most importantly. Secondly, traditional Republican middle class or professional suburbanites have swung over to the Democratic Party. But to be realistic, Democrats have a lot of work to do to appeal to the rural voters, to lower-income voters that should be part of the Democratic Party base, and which the only thing I can imagine giving President Trump credit for, but he deserves it, is he has won over the traditional Reagan Democratic working-class voters in rural areas. And it's a remarkable turn of events of a realignment of Republican suburbs versus rural working-class Democrats that now are voting for Donald Trump. So what happened in Virginia was turnout, that the Trump vote did not turn out, and the traditional Republican suburban vote that voted for Ed Gillespie 4 years ago incredibly not only turned out, but switched over and voted for Mr. Northam.
What also happened in Virginia is that the demographics got bluer. I mean, you had a tremendous amount of demographic shift. You had a lot more minorities have entered the state over the past couple of years. And as a result, you had some, you know, places like Loudoun County, which would have had a chance maybe in the past to be a toss-up here, simply blue. It goes for Ralph Northam in by big numbers. And,
no,
you know,
no
and,
doubt.
And you got to wonder, as you look at this, is the Democratic Party relying on sort of a migration strategy to bolster its numbers?
So no doubt Democrats cannot be complacent. I go back to our soft spot. That is a serious problem for the Democratic Party. Even if you look at the map of Virginia by color, you see almost all red with blue splotches.
Right.
So there's no question that we have work to do. But I would say that what's remarkable is primarily almost overwhelmingly white suburban areas where there are few minorities, few African Americans, few Latinos, are swinging to the Democrats. It's a remarkable realignment between working class Democrats going Republican, the old Reagan Democrats, especially in rural areas, and the Republican base has been going back to Dwight Eisenhower, if not before, in suburban areas where suburbs really began in the 1950s and of course blew up. That's what's remarkable. These are primarily white, upper income, college educated professionals who voted Republicans on economic issues for over 50 years are now swinging Democratic.
In your piece in The Hill, you write that President Trump's base is shrinking, his base is shrinking every week, every month. But yet there's a theory that Ed Gillespie was an establishment candidate, and that's why he didn't get the Trump supporters in Virginia to vote for him.
Sure. There is some truth to that. And the turnout in Trump areas in Virginia was about the same as Donald Trump's turnout in some areas, but was down in other areas. So there's very much validity to what you said. But the Republican Party, you know, maybe has the opposite problem of the Democrats in terms of over-reliance on liberal Democratic voters, and that is over-reliance on rural areas, which are all red in Virginia, but there are not as many people who live in rural areas. That's what makes them rural. So they've got to find a way to crack the higher population, suburban, traditional Republican voter areas. And that's a serious problem, not because of issues, but because of Donald Trump's Twitter personal remarks that scare people, and that professionals who are Republican voters, economic conservatives, are voting Democratic. So I think both parties have something to take away from the Virginia votes. I don't think Democrats can be complacent.
Very quickly, along those lines, why would Republican voters vote for themselves higher taxes, fewer Second Amendment rights, just to send a message to President Trump?
Well, Mary, we Democrats believe in the Second Amendment. We also believe that assault weapons should have background checks and should not be available for purchase over the Internet. So we do agree with the Second Amendment, at least some of us do. So there's a little bit of disagreement between you and me, but your essential question is very, very insightful. Why do Republicans vote for Democrats who do not want to reduce taxes for upper income brackets the way this Republican tax bill would do? But why do working class Democrats who are not going to benefit as much as wealthier people in this tax bill? Now, that's just my argument. I know the Republicans on the Hill, who I respect, would disagree with me. But it is an interesting argument that each of the changing electorate seems to be voting against their economic interests. And my big, quick, maybe we can do this on another
Let's do that. Let's.
Cultural issues are dividing people from their economic interests. The cultural issues are divided.
Lanny Davis, I hate to tell you, we're out of time, but we really appreciate yours, sir. We'll just do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, we'd love to have you
Thank
back.
You. Thank you very much.
Everyone survived. 7:40.